Okay, this evening I'm going to take you back to the book of Philippians. You know, I only have so long to cover things in this book, so I've got to utilize it. But I thought it would be good to go there, and as our next passage that we have here in the first chapter deals with the subject that we were talking about this evening. Beginning there in verse 28 of chapter 1, 28 of chapter 1, he says, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me." So here on the heels of speaking about the need to live your life, your Christianity, 7 days a week, that your life should be that example of Christ, now he goes to the subject of what he is going through as Paul is in prison, as he has been suffering for the cause of Christ. He brings out here and the subject here of suffering for the sake of the gospel. Suffering for the sake of the gospel. You know, there are those today that teach this health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. That is God's will for all believers. And they would tell us it's only when you do not live or act in faith that these things, health, wealth, and prosperity, these things will be present in your lives unless you're not acting in faith. But the scriptures are very clear. That's not true. Many times God's will is just the very opposite of what is being taught, and that's where our passage here takes us to the instructs us in the place of suffering for the gospel. He begins there by saying, "And in nothing be terrified. In nothing be terrified. Don't be terrified, or don't be frightened," is what he's saying there. And as I look at that, I'd just like to consider just some very basic things about our relationship to the Lord. The first of that is the opposite of being terrified is to be in peace. And the Lord gives peace. And you know these, and if you would go in and we look into the lives of some of these that have suffered greatly, that have suffered tremendous persecution for their faith. You talk or you read of them, and it talks of the peace that God's given. It talks of that peace. And you know, the Lord promises to give his peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. He goes on and says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." The Lord gives peace. He promises. The promises of our Lord, he promised to, looked up, you know, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We saw that going through the book of Hebrews in chapter 13. And, you know, it was quoting what the Lord quoted to Moses when Moses was going through and being faced with trials. He says, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you." To Joshua, he said that again, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." When David was giving his charge to Solomon, when Solomon was taking over, he reminded Solomon of that what the Lord said. He said, "The Lord has said, I won't leave you and I won't forsake you." In Luke, when the Lord was teaching, teaching his disciples, he said to them in Luke chapter 12 and 11 following there, he said, when they bring you into the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought what how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. You know, you hear testimonies of people and you wonder, wow, what if I'm faced with that same thing? What if I'm faced with that same thing? How would I respond? And you know, how would I know what to do and say? He says, he even tells them there, he's not only saying don't be terrified, but in there he said, don't worry about it. You stand for me and I'll give you the thing to say. He said, I'll be with you. And that's the Lord saying, I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. One of the things that the Lord tells us in the midst of what man can do to you, in the midst of persecutions, he makes a statement in Isaiah that indicates, hey, these are ones that are going to die. These men, these that would persecute you are going to die. In Isaiah 51, in verse 7, he says, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. And then in the 12th verse of that chapter, he says, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? And the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass. He said, these that would revile you, these that would come up against you, he said, these are ones that are going to die. Well, they might not die when they're doing it, but they're going to, he says, one of these days, they're going to be made as grass. They're going to be, gone. And the Lord speaks of that basic same thing in the book of Luke when he says, they can take your life, but they can't touch your soul. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? If you go to Luke chapter 12 and verse 4 and verse 5 and I think maybe it goes on through verse 7, Luke chapter 12, that's where the Lord teaches on this. He says, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And then he says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthing, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. What is the Lord saying there? He's saying there's going to be persecution. There's going to be that men will do against you. But they can't touch your soul. You're secure in the Lord. The Lord cares very much for you, even as he goes on and talks about the sparrow. And how the Lord knows the very sparrow in one scripture that falls here that basically before men or have no value. And that's where he says, even look, the Lord knows how many hairs are on your head. The Lord cares for you. You're loved of the Lord. And so this is in connection with persecution. And so he's letting us know there that there is not that you should be terrified about. It's pretty normal for us to be terrified of that. It's pretty normal for us to be terrified at that. When I when I, you know, we mentioned some of these this evening, and I've followed as much as I've been able to follow this story of this pastor in Syria, Saeed. And I thought, man, they've put him in one of their worst prisons where they treat their prisoners the worst. We read accounts of his being beaten and were concerned for whether he was, for his health and if he was going to be able to survive. You know, and I think about that myself. Man, I don't like pain. When I go in to give a little blood for a blood test, I don't have enough nerve to give a whole tube. Just enough for a blood test. I question the nurse. How many times have you done this? You know, don't hurt me, you know, with that little pinprick. How can I take what they give these guys? The Lord says, I'll not leave you or forsake you. The Lord gives grace in those times. And I think this is what we're seeing here in these passages. When we go on here in Philippians, he said, you know, he says, don't be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. He said, this is evident. This is evidence as they come in their persecution of the fact that they are going to be destroyed, that they are heading for destruction. Moses, as he stood before Pharaoh, and then as Pharaoh brought things much harder upon them, and the children of Israel cried against Moses, "You've made things worse for us, not better." But it was God's working. It was God's working for the deliverance of his people. At the same time, when you follow that account in Exodus, it was also God's working to bring to fruition and the final destruction of Pharaoh in all of his wickedness. You know, the crossing of the Red Sea was the salvation of Israel, but at the same time it was the destruction. It was the destruction of Pharaoh and their armies. I think of Christ on the cross. When he was there being reviled and he was being crucified, what did he say? You know, he knew, you know, there was no revenge in the Lord's heart for them. He says, forgive them, they don't know what they do. Don't hold this against them. They were a part of a generation that was outside of coming to him would be destroyed. This passage lets us know that a present persecution is an evident token of the judgment that is to come upon the persecutor. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the beginning in verse 4, you go down through there, and here's that whole concept laid out in a number of verses, that the persecutor is under the judgment of God. It says, so that we ourselves glory in the to you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. First of all, for you, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, and seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Some of these accounts that where we have really biographical accounts of those that have gone through these things, those that have been persecuted, they recognize that their persecutors were men that were headed for the judgment of God. And in love for their souls, recognizing that's a token of their destruction, they would share with them the precious gospel of Christ. Even as was just talked about this one so badly persecuted over in Syria. He could see that these are going to be damned for eternity. God's judgment is going to be upon them. What does that do to you? Recognizing that that somebody that is persecuting you for the cause of Christ, that it's evident of their, it's evident of their destruction that is to come. How does that help you? It should keep you from getting bitter, shouldn't it? Keep you from getting bitter against them. Like the little boy that's being bullied on, my dad's gonna get you. Well, it's a recognition that these are under the judgment of God, and that yes, the Lord is going to make things right. You know, we look at things and wonder, why isn't God doing anything? This is not right, what's happening. And it's easy for us, then we get the persecution complex that this is happening to me and it shouldn't be happening to me. But these verses help us to put it in perspective, to understand that, these that are doing that, they are under the judgment of the Lord. And yet, as when you go on in this passage, it says, but to you of salvation, back in Philippians 2, and in nothing be terrified by your adversaries, which to them is the evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. True Christian persecution is an evidence of salvation, an evidence that this is given to you on behalf of Christ. Paul said in the 30th verse there, he says, having this same conflict which you saw in me and now here in me, Paul was being persecuted because of his faith, because of his salvation. And he's saying, you can expect to be delivered up to persecution. In 29 it says, for unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. He told us ahead of time. He told his disciples ahead of time. He asked them, are you able to drink the cup which I drink? Remember, Peter declared, absolutely, already. He says, well, you will have to drink that cup that I drink. So it's in there that we're to expect it. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, yea, in all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, verse 12, will suffer persecution. Luke In Luke chapter 21, let me read a section beginning in verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall be turned to you for a testimony. So settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I'll give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. You shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you they shall cause to be put to death. You'll be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Trust in the Lord in the midst of all this that's going against you. Amazing passage of Scripture. Some that I fear we have not had to, that we have not had to consider much. To us, it's more theory. To us, it's something that's, though this is something the Lord has said would be. But I've not had anything like this. And yet, the Lord, I believe that the Lord is telling us and revealing to us that we can expect it. There where he said, the cup that I drink, you will drink. In Matthew, you know not what ye ask, he says, but are ye able to drink the cup that I shall drink and be baptized with the baptized that I'm baptized with? They said, we are able. And he said to them, you shall indeed drink my cup. And be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. Speaking of the persecution. In John, the Lord says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. Our Lord suffered. He did it there for us. And as we identify with him, he's saying we can expect to suffer. So as we look at those, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Therefore, let us not be ashamed of the testimony of Christ. That's really a quote from 2 Timothy 7 and 8. Don't be ashamed of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He says, be a participant in the afflictions of the gospel. Hebrews. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We will not fear what man shall do unto us because we trust in our God. And we trust in his grace. Revelation 2:10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. It says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. You'll be tried and have tribulation. Of course, there's we're talking of things in the end time. But tribulation will always be expected of God's people. That's why Peter in 1 Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But the Lord said in Matthew, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. But rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him." Passages of scripture there that remind us not to fear, instead to rejoice, not to think something strange happens to us when we come upon persecution. We need to put that together with what we learned this morning. We need to have a life that's a life that's showing the person of Jesus Christ. That our life is one that is lived, our life is one that is lived in such a way that people see Christ in us. And if persecution comes because of that, he said, rejoice. Blessed are those that suffer for my name's sake. So he says, don't be terrified, don't be frightened. The persecutor is the one that's under the judgment of God. The true Christian's persecution is really an evidence of their salvation. And so we're not to fear, but we're to rejoice. Going through the book of Philippians, a book that is a great encouraging book, encourages us in our faith, and we could say this is probably one of the least encouraging passages because none of us look forward to persecution. And yet, we must be warned of it. We must be told that it is going to be. And so when it comes, we will have expected it, and we will know how to respond to it when it comes. I thank the Lord for the blessings that we have had. I thank the Lord that I have not had those things. At the same time, there have been those that have even said, "Don't pray that we're delivered. Pray that God will be glorified through it," because they see how their lives are being used to the glory of God in the midst of it. So let's, ahead of time, commit to the Lord. Lord, I am yours. Lord, I want to be used of you. And like Paul said, whether by life or by death, that I might be used of you. It's a committing of ourselves to the Lord and knowing that, Lord, you're going to be with me. You're never going to leave me or forsake me. And Lord, it would be a privilege to be able to stand for you, even in the midst of men that would hate me and that men would seek to take my life. But Lord, they can't take my life. I mean, they can take my body, but they can't touch my soul. We are here for a short time on this earth. God has called us to bring glory and honor to him, and we're going to spend an eternity with him. This life is a short time. Let us just commit ourselves to the Lord and thank the Lord for your freedoms and the blessings that you have in prosperity. And if the Lord brings persecution, thank the Lord for that too, that we may be counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. Let's turn in our hymnals to 297. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. There's a hymn that I believe we can... It just has the promises that we need when we go through such things as that. Number 297.